This week, Daybreak Asia has been presenting a VOA exclusive series on what Americans think about the Chinese. In May, Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin reported on what Americans think of China, the country. He has been currently looking at what the U.S. public thinks about Chinese Americans, U.S. citizens who immigrated to this country from China, and others who descended from Chinese immigrants. Michael found three common attitudes in U.S. society, one that sees Chinese Americans as a model minority, a second that labels them as a part of a generic Asian American ethnic group, and a third that views them as foreign to the United States. On Tuesday's program, we explained why the U.S. public's tendency to label Chinese Americans as part of a generic Asian ethnic group creates programs for all Asian minorities in the United States. Today, we find out why many Chinese Americans feel like outsiders in U.S. society. For some perspective on that, Michael spoke with Frank H. Wu, a prominent Chinese American commentator and chancellor of the University of California Hastings College of Law. Speaking via Skype, Wu explained the image that many Americans have of his community.
That Chinese Americans are perpetual foreigners, that we are sojourners who have a loyalty to China, not the United States, that we're potential spies who will commit economic espionage or be disloyal. And that applies whether you're fresh off the boat, in that pejorative phrase, or a sixth-generation Californian. At this point, there are people of Chinese descent who can trace their ancestry in the United States back to before California was a part of the Union.
When it comes to many Chinese Americans being perceived as having dual loyalties, what evidence of that do you see in American society today?
Most recently, there is the failed prosecution of scientist Wen Ho Li. This is an all but forgotten case because it occurred before the tragic events of 9/11. But at the time, he was described as having sold the nuclear crown jewel secrets to China. And in the end, not only did he plead to a minor charge, but the federal judge that presided over the matter apologized for prosecutorial overreaching. And the New York Times issued a very rare, not quite retraction, but statement indicating that its reporting had not been fully accurate.
Are there any other examples that you can cite from just everyday life about how Chinese Americans feel that other Americans are suspicious of their loyalties?
Sure. It's a daily occurrence to be asked, where are you from? And then to be asked, well, where are you really from? When people ask me where I'm from, I explain I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And people do a double take. They furrow their brows. They frown. They shake their heads. They say, no, what I really mean is, where are you really from? Which means I can't be from the heartland. I can't actually be an American or native born. And it seems innocent enough. It's the addition of just one word, but it speaks volumes about who truly belongs and to whom the country in turn belongs. It's the "my, you speak English so well" compliment or the heckler's jeer. If you don't like it here, you can go back to where you came from. And my reply is always, well, things aren't that much better in Detroit.
Chinese American blogger Frank Wu. Helen Xia, a Chinese American rights activist and former journalist, says the U.S. public's suspicions of her community go beyond disloyalty. And here's how she describes the stereotype.
The evil alien invader. And by alien, not just alien to the United States, but alien to humanity. The idea that Chinese and other Asians, because we are lumped together, are here to be diabolical and somehow destroy and take away everything we know and love about America. And that's been an abiding archetype. It is the fundamental archetype. And it gets resurrected every time there is any issue with China or manipulated, whether it's around labor issues, around garlic that is coming from overseas and driving down prices. So that's the evil Chinese garlic. Or around education and whether Chinese or Asians are taking over the American educational system. The campaign finance, which has been corrupt for many years, before Chinese were linked to it, but periodically when there's some need to, you know, attack another party, most recently the Republicans attacking Democrats for being too close to China and being corrupted by Chinese money and Asian money. I mean, everybody was lumped together, and that's too. And so there's one other image that now has been kind of the mirror image of the evil alien invader, and that's the model minority, which is that Chinese are so quiet and diligent, and through their hard, diabolical ways and cleverness, they're able to insinuate themselves into the leading educational institutions and in American culture, but they're so quiet and so passive and so unassuming that American policy need not pay any attention to, say, the health care or mental health or poverty situations of Asian Americans, because, you know, we are so diligent on our own that we will overcome everything. And so that's the flip side. I mean, the overcoming everything in a, quote, positive light also means that we can take over everything in the negative light. So it really is, in essence, the same thing, but they are sort of the twin views of Asians and Chinese in America.
Helen Zia, author of the 2001 book Asian American Dreams, The Emergence of an American People. Some Chinese Americans say discrimination has become less of a problem in recent years. Bernie Wong is head of the Chinese American Service League in Chicago, a community service organization. She spoke with Michael Lippin about how attitudes have changed from what people used to think about Chinese Americans.
Many folks see us primarily as restaurant owners. People who come to visit Chinatown, they don't really see the whole big picture. You know, they see us as, you know, store owners and restaurant owners, and not very diverse in terms of doing other businesses. This is how they see us. This is not true. I think that right now, you know, there are many, many successful Asian and Chinese corporate businesses. So it's shifted, you know, their whole attitude. You know, we're not just small business owners.
You talked about how there's been a shift in the public attitude. Are there any specific examples you can give of how the city as a whole recognizes and appreciates the Chinese entrepreneurs?
When we first started the organization in 1979, you know, every time somebody from our community needed to contact, you know, the bigger corporations or the city hall, for example, we have no voice. We had to go through the Ottoman and get okay from city hall. Right now, that's completely different. We are very much recognized by the Chicago Chamber of Commerce. We are being invited by every level of government to sit on their various committees, whether it's Asian Council or some of the more broader type committees that they also would like to have diverse representation. For example, we just had a big dinner, and we have 700 people. I would say that 60% or more of them are non-Chinese that comes to that event, and the mayor came, you know, and stayed and shook hands and spoke. So the recognition of us as a nonprofit, as well as many other Chinese organizations and Asian community, has totally changed in the last 30 years.
Do you know if there are any actual cases of, you know, racial discrimination or harassment of Chinese Americans?
Obviously, you know, some folks still feel that we are being harassed because we are Chinese. And sometimes it's true, sometimes it's how it's perceived. But in our working in the community here, there has been some cases that we have worked with the Commission on Human Relations where there's some racial overtone and individuals has not been treated well. I must say that it is not as prevalent in our community. We also support each other a lot. You know, anything comes up, you know, we do try to take a look at it seriously and do whatever we can, you know, with contacting whoever is appropriate. But, you know, obviously on a daily basis, as it goes on, I'm sure there are cases where, you know, students feel like they have been looked at or laughed at, you know, because, you know, they don't speak very clearly or, you know, they don't look the same. And in working with the youth, we have situations like that. our agency, Chinese American Service League, we work with all ages, and we continuously do education and orientation. And at the same time, we also try to do as much of the exposure of connecting to other cultures so that we also open our mind, too, so that we don't, you know, always assume that people will look at us negatively.
The head of Chicago's Chinese American Service League, Bernie Wong, who immigrated to the United States from Hong Kong. For more on this story, you can go to our website at voanews.com, click on the Blue Asia tab at the top, then scroll down and look to the right side for the What Americans Think About China box. And there you can find Michael Lippin's web reports, including graphics showing key data from U.S. opinion polls on Chinese Americans.